Yeah, I totally lost. I blacked out. I went on a rant, boys. I'm sorry. Blacked out.
Hold on. Are you done yet? I
Yep, I'm
I
good.
just woke up.
That is how you debate.
Welcome to the For the Gram podcast, a podcast on how to grow your social media and small business. Join us as we discuss how we use Instagram to grow our small businesses and form social communities. Learn how we've created partnerships with each other and formed relationships with other brands. Whether you want to take your small business or your social media to the next level, or you're just looking for a fun and lighthearted podcast about the everyday, this is the For the Gram podcast. I'm Mark from Remarkable Woodworks, and I'm joined by Vic from The Stump Shop and Dom from M Inspired Living. Now, I can barely stand these two, but other people seem to enjoy them, and you got to give the people what they want. So I'll stop boring you with the intro now, and we can get on to this week's episode of the For the Gram podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to episode 20 of the For the Gram podcast. Took us about a year to get here. 20 is a big number. I'm Vic from The Stump Shop, joined as usual by my boy Mark from Remarkable Woodworks and Dom from M Inspired Living. Today, we're going to be going behind the scenes content creation on a budget.
Hang on, but what do you mean by on a budget?
I mean, that's a good question. It's a subjective word, budget. But why are you interrupting me at this point? We haven't even started.
Well, no, because
that's
we
we're going to be
didn't,
talking about.
We didn't specify that, and budget can mean a different thing to different people.
Actually, that's a good point. Content creation on a budget. Honestly, what we're going to be talking about is the way the three of us do things. None of us have, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe one of you do, but none of us have large studios. None of us have thousands of dollars worth of equipment following us around, microphones, booms, cameras. I don't know about you guys, but I've never filmed or done any sort of content with anyone other than you two. So I'm talking about, I know Mark's done a lot of stuff on site with crews, but when we're talking about budget, we're talking about on our own feeds, whether it's for Instagram or for YouTube, focusing on individuals as a maker. For example, let me throw it out to, I'll just pick Dom at random here. Have you ever paid anyone to produce content for M Inspired Living?
Never, never. I mean, Mark produces the content for this podcast, but we don't pay him.
Yeah, so
that's
true.
that's as close as I've gotten to it. No, I do all of my content is created on my iPhone, and it's an iPhone 8. So,
oh my, okay. So then there you go on a budget. I think you just played with the hell that means.
Well, and that's why I asked the question because
thanks
that's
for
a true budget
question. So, but what I was talking about is how do you get a. Did he say iPhone 8? Hold on.
He did. He said, where do you put your quarter in that thing, man?
It only takes nickels. It didn't need quarters at the time.
The only thing I'm picturing is an operator taking one cable out, putting it in another hole. You know those old videos where they're like, yeah. Hi, this is Dominic. I'd like to speak with Victor. And there's like a guy there switching cables around. Yeah. Oh, man.
Let me just say that this is coming from the guy that had an iPhone 3 up until
until his company bought him a new one.
Up until 3 months ago.
That's true. That's true. Do you guys remember a giveaway so long ago with a good friend of ours, Gwen, and she was doing this big money fundraiser? And when it was my turn to go live and auction off this tray I had built for charity, my Wi-Fi died. Man, everyone was laughing at me the next day, man. Like, it was, people were like, oh, I guess he doesn't want to give up the tray anymore. And I'm just there still talking because I don't know it died on the other end, you know?
That was, believe it or not, I think that was like 2 to 3 years ago.
Yeah, man. That's that was a long time ago.
A while ago, yeah.
Day, or not even the next day, you know, an hour later, I find out mine died like after 10 seconds. And I was selling this tray with like, I was smiling, just selling it, so just going, funny. Yeah, guys, listen, let's raise money for charity. And they had moved on to like the next maker, like half hour earlier, you know? Anyways, Mark,
so funny.
You're kind of, different than Dom and I.
Thank you so much.
I mean, different can mean a lot of things, but
that's a polite way of putting it.
And thanks for joining us, by the way. It's at least an hour and 45 minutes after we were
supposed to. Shut up.
What do you do, man? Like, what's your content style? Like, when we're talking on a budget, are you throwing cash left, right, and center to be able to come up with content? And we're talking about four remarkable works or remarkable woodworks, your page.
Yeah. No, I do everything myself. I've never like purchased any sort of service. I know people that have, and it works really well for them. But I've always done everything myself, and I've picked the brains of other people within our community on Instagram. Nick Key is a really good resource, so I'm constantly talking to him.
Yep.
And I've just kind of always used whatever money I make from content, I put that money towards making better content. So the first gig that I got, that was a paid gig for like a post, I just kind of put that money aside and then eventually bought myself like an actual camera. I've always wanted my content to be better, but I'm too cheap to pay people for it, if that makes sense. So I've invested a lot of time into watching like Peter McKinnon videos and just like filmmakers on like how they do things and picking those people's brains and then kind of incorporating those things from there. But 90% of my content up until maybe 2 months ago was shot on my phone.
Nice. Yeah. And that's kind of what we're talking about when we say on a budget. And that kind of leads me to think also what we've been doing up until this point and what we keep doing depends on how you want to define success. But if you feel like you're having success with what you've been doing up until this point, doesn't it make it harder or almost, in my mind, unnecessary to then go and act? Like, if let's just say, for example, I posted a video, and because this is for the gram, let's just pick Instagram. Let's say I post a video on Instagram or even IGTV, and it does well in my mind. That's a successful video, and I'm happy with it. I'm getting the engagement, this and that. And I did that on my cell phone, edited it myself, did my own music or you know what I mean? Like not using an artist music, and it does well. Doesn't that kind of, wouldn't that hinder my wanting to get ahead and go and spend, you know, like I don't have any desire at this point to spend $1,000 or $2,000 on a camera to get that much better when I'm already happy with where I am. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think it's because you know that you can do it. And I think that you can play that waiting game. I think what a lot of people do is they just want it now. So they hear that you need better content. So then they're just going to go and hire someone who can make better content. And then they're just the face of it. And a lot of people don't enjoy doing like the videos and stuff. I know the three of us actually enjoy making the videos and doing different things. So, I mean, it really just depends on what or how you see it to be important, if that you know what I'm trying to say though, like creating content for us is really important. For my wife, not so important. So
right.
I can drop $800 on the camera and not feel bad, where she's like, what the hell are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, how many people really can afford to go out and actually hire people to do it for them? It's one thing to go out and buy equipment, right? But how many people can actually go out and hire someone to record their content for them? I think very, very, very few. Especially
maybe in our
especially with what we do, yes.
Maybe in our space, but if you're thinking like if you're opening it up to different niches, like realtors all the time, they hire out people to do their stuff. The gym fitness, like the Fit Fam, they have people following them with cameras and shit all the time. Like, again, it could be difficult, but I know a lot of contractors that have people follow them around with film and have agencies and stuff that do it. A lot of these big accounts that have like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of, you know, followers on things in the construction side of things, they all have like media companies that follow them because they don't have time to run, you know, their big crews and all that stuff. But what I think a lot of people don't get is like, what is good content? Just because Gary Vee tells you to post every single day, like a lot of posts are garbage. And that's going to hurt you more than, like Vic said a couple episodes ago, and just spending time learning the craft and then getting comfortable with it and then posting stuff every day. Or we're making one big video and then chopping it up into little videos, or taking stills from that and then putting it out. Like, if people ask me for advice on how to do X, Y, and Z, and I give them like six Peter McKinnon videos and say, watch these 17 times and then try them out and make family videos that no one else is going to see before you start practicing out and putting it out. Like, no one's going to want to spend that much time on it, but that's what I do because I'm a crazy person.
Yeah. Well, that kind of leads to another point, budget. What is budget? That could be a time thing also, right? Like, if you're budgeting your time, right away people say the word budget or hear the word budget and they're thinking cash, cash, cash. I got to hire an editor. I got to hire a guy to film me. I got to hire X, Y, Z. What about when you want to be able to do that? Like, I'll be honest, at the point I'm at in my, in this career, I guess, like the content creation world, I would cringe. I would hate for someone else to be editing my videos. But if they were to have watched all of the videos I've put out and totally learned my style and were still able to make it look like it was me, that's one thing. But a lot of people out there just do that because they don't have the time to be editing. We all know, man, like when you film something and it ends up being however many hundreds of minutes or hours long footage, and you want that number in your head, I want this to become, you know, a 5-minute video. Or if you're looking to squeeze it into a 1-minute Instagram post, that takes a lot of time, I'll be honest. And some people at that point, they might just be like, okay, how much will an editor cost me? I'm just totally throwing out a number there. Oh, for $500, you'll come back to me with the sickest video and it takes me zero time. I could see some people going, okay, man, because I spent like, you know, 4 weeks to edit my last video. That could be worth it there. You guys ever think that way? Like I hate spending the money, but I will, for it to kind of alleviate me from having to do something that I just don't have time for.
I think it depends too, though, like you said, about how much control you're willing to give up in that process. Right? Because again, you film something, it goes to the editor. And I mean, unless it's someone that you've really worked with a lot and they've gotten to know your style, you're giving up that control. And there might be something in there that you think is the best part, and they're not going to get that. And, you know, it gets cut out, right?
Yeah. Or they're not woodworkers, or they're not contractors, right? Or they're not in the construction field. They're,
I think, for editors. For anybody that gets to that point, and again, like Mark said, in our niche and what we do, I don't think there's many people that have gotten to that point where you have an editor doing that for you. There's a few, but the vast majority don't do that. I think when you do get to that point, it has to be a working relationship where there's some time there involved in learning your style and, you know, what's important for sure. to you and right.
Spending time with each other and doing all those things.
It's not as simple as, you know, finding somebody, throwing them a 20-minute video and saying, here, make this into a 5-minute video for me.
You gotta trust that they're
not making you look like a bag of shit either. Yeah. Right. That's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially if you care about the content, but like and I know you guys are kind of the same, like I enjoy the challenge, right? Like when I first started going from like getting into Instagram before videos were a thing, if you guys can remember that, I didn't know how to take a picture. I had no clue how to take a picture. I had to learn how to do like basic photography.
Okay, so let me stop you right there then. And why don't you give our listeners that tidbit they're looking for? You just started out, couple hundred followers, you're looking at accounts going, I like this, I like that. But let's bring it back to the title. You're on a budget. Your wife or your husband's or your significant other's not going to approve of you. Oh, suddenly you're a woodworker. Yes, no problem. Go spend thousands of dollars. No. Oh, you're suddenly new to this content creation. Yeah, go ahead and change our living room into a studio. No, right? None of that happening. So if you're on a budget right now, Mark, lead us through, man. Like, you're starting out, basically you don't want this to affect your daily budget you have with your family. what do you do? Like, you still want to do the content, but you're on a budget. So what do you do?
It's funny because, again, not to like pump his tires too much, but Nick Key told me one time that the best camera that you have is the one that you're going to use. And for a long time, that was my cell phone. But then once you start thinking and like have that kind of like in the forefront of your mind, you'll start to realize different things. So for me, and I can only speak to my experience, we were at a family dinner at my father-in-law's, and I saw that he had this like Canon camera. It was like a DSLR, and it was just sitting on the shelf. I'm like, how long have you had that camera for? And he's like, well, I don't know, like 2 years. I was like, you ever use it? No. Like, do you mind if I borrow it? He's like, yep. So then I took it home and just kind of like fiddled with it, took a bunch of the worst pictures of all time, like me standing in front of water with like this cutting board that just looked like shit.
First of all, a two-year-old camera, is that not the same as it is in the computer world? Like, that is old or no? I don't know.
Oh, it was super old. And this is like 2014. So it's like, it was super, super. And I had no idea how to like change any of the settings or like depth of field. Like, I knew nothing, 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 nothing. So yeah, it was just super, super shoddy. And then you just, the best way to do it is just to learn. Like, you got to get your feet wet. You got to learn different editors. And the only way that you can learn is by, you know, absorbing as much content as you can. So
let's put it this way. Mark, if you had to tell somebody starting out on a budget, they don't want to spend a lot of money, but they want to create decent looking content, what would you suggest? What are the must-haves?
Keeping I would in say, mind what's that- your budget? You got to know what your budget is.
Yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
That's a good point.
Like what are we going to say?
Thanks for ruining the perfect down my question. Yeah. No, but listen, this is the kind of things you're thinking of. Is
like blurry with the photo or a shadow. You can like click on it and then increase the brightness and it'll reveal that. So I like doing that in certain situations. If I'm on a job site or if I'm in the shop or something and I take a photo and it's like kind of like you can't really see half the tools on it, I'll use that to like increase it so you can see the whole image that I'm trying to
capture.
Is that
why your chest in every photo is always bright and
so much bigger?
Focus just on that?
So much bigger, yeah.
That's the secret. You know what? I find definition is a good setting to play with as well. You know, if you're using your iPhone specifically and you go into edit and there's all the...
Is that because you don't know like what they mean and definition explains to you what it is? Or is that what you mean by definition?
It explains to you what all of them are. No, if you sometimes...
iPhone 8, an item that hasn't been around since 2006.
I don't know why I even bother with you guys.
Once again, in my opinion, I've mentioned this before, I think videos perform a lot better than photos. That's for me on Instagram. If I'm going to pump out a video, this is how I do it. I still only use one phone. I still only use one tripod. I use whatever I have available in terms of lighting, this and that. I don't use any microphone or sound, device. Like, I don't have a boom or anything. This is the shitty thing about making a video on a budget, I'll be honest, is if you like, my style, I'm slowly developing more and more is the quick cuts. I like to have it under a second per scene and then bam, bam, bam. Do you know what I mean? Like, it brings someone through the whole process of something and you can make that happen in under a few minutes. So that's kind of the style I've slowly been leaning towards, where it's the bam, 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 quick cuts. I'll tell you the shitty thing about doing that. I guess on a budget, because I'm just too cheap to buy, you know, three or four tripods and several phones, is moving the tripod over and over and over. And then reviewing the video and going, okay, I got to put it here for that scene to make sense. Like, if I'm walking off screen and I had another tripod recording me coming on screen, it's there, problem solved. I don't. So now I have to move that tripod to make it look like it's a second camera of me coming into the scene, and then a third one of me putting down the item, and then a fourth one of that item hitting the table or whatever you're trying to achieve. That just took me, speaking of budget, $0, but an hour of my time. Yeah. So you also have to
it took you,
right?
it took you 2 hours to cut one piece of wood on the miter saw.
Exactly. So yeah. If we're talking about budget, are you doing this full time? Can you afford the time? Is this fun time? I don't know. Those are just some of the things that I do for video, and I'm willing to sacrifice it, wait for it, for the gram. Okay.
Ooh.
You like that?
I like, no, anyways, it. I like
that's,
it. I like it.
That's what I do, man. I kind of, you know, get it ready in my head. This is what I want to achieve with this video. These are the angles I want to show people. Mark mentioned it several episodes ago. This is the start of my video. This is the meat and potatoes, and this is the ending. That's how I do my videos, man. And
the dessert.
So,
well, you said it was the meat and potatoes. So you should have said it was the appetizer.
The meat and okay, all right.
Right,
Colin.
I was just gonna say, like, lighting, for example. I went to Costco and bought a couple of lights, and my shop lighting for what I need is sick. Like, it's a couple of motion lights. It's sick. And a couple of upgraded light bulbs. Next thing you know, my shop is super bright day or night. That didn't cost me tons of money. And it was, I put them in myself. It's not hard. You hang a couple of lights off the ceiling. I went and I bought a tripod. At first, I bought a $12 tripod off Amazon. Broke a few of those. Then I realized, I'm like, you know what? That's one area where I'm going to be using it over and over. Even if I don't have a super expensive camera, I need a tripod. So I invested in a tripod that was like, you know, $80. And to me, I was like, that's a lot of money, but I use this item every day. After that, I just used my cell phone. I got the lights. I've got a tripod. You just press record on your cell phone and bam, next thing you know, I'm pretty happy with some of the videos I came out with, right? But that's how I started on a budget.
You know what? I really feel that the budget is important. I mean, I'm obviously on a budget like everybody else, but I think as far as content creation goes, it's the same as, you know, for us, the three of us, we started out doing woodworking, and it's the same thing. You have to start with what you have and what you can't.
Yeah.
Again, we started out as woodworkers. We're still woodworkers. We didn't run out and buy Festool everything because you can't. You need to be on a budget. So you got to start with what you have and kind of work your way up. Like, I mean, you know what? You don't have great lighting in your shop yet, but you don't want to spend the money on the lights. Try to take your pictures, you know, on a sunny day with your door open and, you know, try and make use of the natural light until you can afford to go buy those lights. And then you make that upgrade and you get your lights, just like we would do with, you know, with tools and building our way up from there, right? And just like our projects where we started and what we do today are, you know, a huge difference. Content creation is going to be the same thing. Where you start and your first pieces of content and where you are, whatever, 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road is going to be a huge improvement because that's just the natural progression of things, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's, yeah, you nailed it. But so then, like, you guys both said lighting. Is that where you start? Like, where do you start then? Like, where should, if I have $100, where should I start?
Not lighting.
No,
I think honestly, you can just pick a good day where you know you have nice natural light.
Yeah.
Right. And
so what's okay? Well, we'll break this down then. For photos, three kind of like Stump Shop or Hem-inspired rules of good photos. What do they need to have?
I still don't know how to take good photos, so I'll listen to what Vic has to say.
Well,
checkmate.
So these are the things that I look for if it's a photo I'm taking versus a video. Yeah. I learned my lesson over the years, shadows. That's my thing. And that costs you nothing to take your phone or we'll say camera, whatever it's, whether it's a phone or an actual, you know, a serious camera, lighting. Shadows, which is kind of as a result of lighting. It costs you nothing to move your tripod around. Left, right. There's so many photos I see on Instagram or even on anywhere on the internet where you can see the shadow of the person, or you can see the shadow of the tripod, or you can see the shadow of their arm. Totally cool. But I'm thinking, if you're looking at something that is a $0 improvement, just watch for shadows. On top of that, I've already talked about lighting, but Dom had a real good point. don't go spending a bunch of money on lighting when you could just open up your shutters, wait for a day where it's, you know, it doesn't even have to be super sunny. Sometimes in the evening, the dusk is the best light for
midday.
Yeah, you don't want a super sunny midday shot anyways. You open up that garage door, bam, $0 improvement. Your lighting is now good. You're watching for your shadows. And on top of that, if you have a modern phone, not like Dom, I don't even know if your phone does this, but put your phone, put your phone down, whether it's on a tripod or leaning it up against something. Tap the screen.
My phone doesn't lean on things.
Yeah. He has it in a backpack with a cable coming out. He has to, okay, so take your backpack off, lean it up against something, and just let the camera do its business. So many times I see people taking a photo, and my wife's the worst for this, takes the photo out, presses the button like instantly. I'm like, hold on, the camera hasn't even decided on what it wants to take a picture of. Next thing you know, you got a blurry photo. So there you go. If you already have a phone, I'm not saying go buy a good one, $0 improvement. Tap, let the phone focus, adjust the lighting, use the features your camera already has, and that costs you nothing. Boom, there you go. Three tips for what I think would be a better photo.
Nailed it. And I think the only thing I would add personally is to record a video of the thing that you're trying to capture a photo of. And then you can scroll through, and when you're happy with how the image looks, then you can just take a screenshot of that image if you're using your phone. And 9 times out of 10, that camera is a little bit better, so it has a little bit more depth of field in it, and you can kind of play with it a little bit more than you can if you're trying to like nail the perfect, you know, image down and have your phone still as you push the button or whatever. So yeah. Taking a video and then stealing a still from that has always been really, really beneficial for me.
You don't think that loses, and this is one of those things too where I have nothing to prove it, it's just my personal pet peeve almost, an opinion. You don't think screenshotting loses quality for the picture?
No, because I edit everything anyways, so it's doesn't really faze me if we're talking camera, like cell phone cameras.
Yeah.
I don't think so. If we're talking like my actual camera, then I would do that. I would take stills, but I would like set up for that.
Yeah.
And that's another easy fix for, you know, to make your content a little better looking, especially with pictures. And it costs you nothing, especially if you're using your phone. Even my iPhone 1 has the capability.
Go
into edit it and play around with the settings. Play around with the exposure. And I mean, I'm not talking about Photoshopping it and making it a completely different picture than what it actually is, because you don't want to do that either, right? You want it to
stay true to what it is.
But I mean, if you play with the exposure and you know, the darkness and the contrast, you can really take a mediocre picture and make it look a lot better, right?
Yeah. And that just takes no more than usually a minute per photo. And free, like,
and you know
said,
what? Once you've done it a few times, then you start to know just by looking at the picture what you're gonna need to do, right? You'll kind of know looking at this pic. Oh, you know what? I need to bring the exposure up a little, just a touch on this, and you'll know. You won't have to spend, you know, an hour in there playing with all the settings.
I think it also goes to the more you, it's almost like Pavlov's theory, if you guys remember that, where with the dog, you keep clicking, it eventually becomes accustomed to, for me, for example, what I'm trying to say is if I've always done a photo that has higher exposure, so it's brighter, and suddenly that photo performs well. Holy smokes, look how many people saved that. Look how many people sent that to someone else. I do that again. Yeah. Man, look at that. Hundreds of saves or hundreds of people are sending this to other people. Then you put out a photo where it's darker or there's some different angle which isn't your style, suddenly that doesn't perform well. You start to kind of feed your own theory that, okay, listen, for me to do well, that photo needs to be edited to a certain amount. So if what I'm trying to say is you develop your own style that works for you, and none of that costs anything. Yeah. Like I look at some people's Instagram pages and it's very dark. Every picture has the same frame around it. Bam, they have 100,000 followers. Obviously, it's working for them. Do you know what I mean? But, if I was to post a dark photo with a dark frame, I could tell you right now it just wouldn't do that well. So I don't know. These are just little.
And you know what? No, that's good, because I think that's important too, that it helps that you kind of generate your own style. Because if you look at, there's some creators out there that something of theirs might flash across your screen as you're scrolling, and without even looking at who it is, you know who it is. Because it's their style, and they've mastered it, and you just know who it is by the way it's presented to you.
Right.
Do you guys use any editors, like free editor? I'm just gonna go out and safe to say in 2020 that when we say budget, if you have Instagram, you have a cell phone that is capable of downloading apps. So
I think we're beyond that. Yeah.
What are your free like photo editing apps? We're still in photos. We can talk about videos in a sec.
So I'll go out and say this right away. I do pay for an app to edit my videos. We talked about this, I think, a few episodes ago. For photo editing, especially since my company phone, which I take a lot of my pictures with now, is right now the best phone. It's whatever it is, iPhone 11. I use the InPhoto app. Like, it's already in, like Dom said, I don't even use an editing app. If you go into the edit photo features on this newest iPhone, dude, it's crazy the stuff you could do. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but when you're taking your picture, I have this little goal in my mind where I hardly want to edit pictures. I want the picture itself to be uneditable. Uneditable. Is that a word?
It is now to be edited.
But no, that's what I do. I don't pay for any photo editing app. We've used professional photographers in a couple of things we've done together. And don't get me wrong, those photos came back incredible. Like, they blew me away. Then I started to realize, and I've heard this from professional photographers that are my friends, I'm not the one saying this, okay? Don't kill me. iPhones and these modern phones will put photographers out of business. I am not the one saying that, okay? But the editing you can do on a cell phone photo these days is the bomb.
Yeah.
That's a new word.
That means it's cool. It's sick.
it was cool.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's cool anymore.
The bomb.
Oh, and you know, you want to know something else that I've done in the past that I think is very helpful too for people that are starting, and you know what, not even just starting out, but even people that have been doing it a long time. Pick a few of your favorite content creators, right? A handful of your favorites that you really respect and enjoy what they're doing, and go to their feed and scroll. If you can't, I know some people have thousands of posts, but scroll as far back as you can and compare what they were doing when they started and how that evolved to where they are now, that, you know, you try to emulate and that you respect so much, because I think that's really useful.
Yeah, definitely. Man. Sure. Yeah. You see someone else's style, not saying to copy it, but you kind of get these little tidbits from everyone, right? Yeah. But
also to see that where they started out, that they didn't start out as a professional content creator, right?
Right.
Everybody at some point picked up their camera for the first time and took a really crappy picture of something that you could barely see because of the shadows and the lighting and, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Why, Mark, what do you use? You asked us if we use any apps or anything. You got something special for photos or?
Yeah, I use an app. It's free to download. It's called Snapseed.
Okay.
And the reason why I like it is because you can pick a part of the picture to add the brightness or the exposure or anything. Oh. So it's like, let's just say one half of your face is...
I think the biggest thing is that even on a budget, if you really want to, you can make decent quality content. Even on a budget, with the greatest equipment to start out, you can be making decent quality content.
I think so.
What
too.
Is good content? That's, I'm going to throw that out there. What is good content? Like, what do you guys?
That's subjective.
It's subjective. Everybody's, I might think it's terrible. Another 100 people might think it's fantastic. Who am I to say what's good?
Okay, so to answer Merck's question,
there's basic things like I think we all know with photos, right? You don't want them to be too dark. You don't want a lot of shadows. You don't want them to be blurry. Like, I mean, there's basic principles that I think everybody understands. So you want to stay away from that. But
they don't, not everyone understands. And they don't
know. That's what I'm saying.
But a lot of people, when you look at their photos, someone who has, I'll throw out 20,000 followers, which is a big number because a lot of people are trying to reach that. And then you look at one of their photos and you're like, man, I wouldn't, this is just me, once again, personal opinion, I wouldn't have posted that photo when I had 200 followers, yet they're still killing the numbers. What I mean by that is, okay, let's say, to answer Mark's question straight up, good content for me, if I'm talking videos, I've become more like I'm watching the video for the video.
Exactly.
Right? Right? Yeah. Not even the
final. Not the story.
Not exactly. Yeah. So that's what I've come to. Like, let me throw up my latest video was how I finished the triple bow tie stump. It's done killer on IGTV. I'm super happy with how it's performing. If I was someone else watching that video, I wouldn't give a shit about how that stump turned out. I would be more interested in, oh, look, there's an angle. He moved that angle. Okay, the sound is good. Bam, he hit that transition. That's what I'm looking for in a video these days. Unless it is like I'm learning to, you know, if I punch in a video on how to finish a board because I need to finish this board, that's one thing. Then I'm looking for the actual content in that video. But normally I'll press play and I'll be like, this video's shit. I'm turning it off. I don't even care what the final product is.
That's my point though, is like we keep saying video's king, but people are just putting this friggin' GoPro down and then just working all day and then putting music to that, and that's what they're putting out. And that's what I'm trying to say is like people are more inclined to engage with your content if you put value and put that extra mile and do all those extra steps in it, because a lot of people are going to like the video just because of how much work you put into that. Or they liked one thing, like, oh, I really liked how he walked off camera and walked in on doing it. Like
on another,
there's so many people that have never seen that before that are going to see it for the first time and wonder how he did it, that they're going to like that video and then comment on it. How did you do this? Where did you find the music? Who is this? And then boom, now you're getting engagement and you're getting reach.
Yeah.
I think though too, a lot of people get swept up in this whole concept of quantity. You have to have quantity.
Yeah.
I mean, Gary V taught as my, I love Gary V. I think he's great. But he's always pushing quantity. You gotta have quantity. And it's the whole TikTok. The whole thing around TikTok right now is that it's quantity. Pump on there as much as you can because you need one of those to go viral, to boost your numbers. Yeah. So even if 200 of them are shit, as long as you have the one good one, keep pumping them in there. So I think a lot of people get swept up by that, right? Because that's what they're being fed. That's what they're being told to do.
Yeah, that's the part that I think it's going to lead to burnout, and it's going to lead to people putting out so much shitty content that when I'm scrolling through, I don't want to engage with it. I'm like, this is crap. This is crap
of that person. Like we can't necessarily sit here and go, you know what? That's shitty video. For example, my first, I think it was IGTV video. Just recently, I went back because, you know, I'm just once in a while, I'll scroll back to the beginning and just kind of to learn off my own mistakes. I had a camera in one angle, one tray I was staining for 7 minutes. For 7 minutes, I'm filming this
How
one
big
angle.
Was the tray?
I almost wanted to vomit. Like, and I'm not exaggerating when I say six. No. I won't even say 4 to 5 seconds into it, I was like, move that angle. Please move that camera. Please zoom in and transition to when you're almost done staining. Please throw me a 360 around that tray. Do you know what I mean? So, and that's me. I'm critiquing my own stupid content where years ago I was like, okay, if I set up my camera and press record and I'm hitting the table the camera's on, so you see the little shaking and the vibrations, it's good because I'm putting out another video. I felt the pressure to get on IGTV just like everyone else. It was terrible. Again, I'm going to actually go delete that right now.
But again, isn't that part, that's part of the learning process, exactly. That again, those are your first, and your following will grow as you grow. And that, okay, maybe that video is to, I mean, I love you, but I wouldn't watch 7 minutes of you staining anything.
From one angle, yeah.
from one angle. But, like, I was probably, I don't remember it, but I'm sure I followed along and I was watching it at the time. Yeah. But, I mean, it's one bad video. I don't think that will make or break anyone. It's the fact that, you know what, you tune in today, all right, that video is not the greatest. You and turn in, you know,
back for the
a
time,
week
right?
from now, and all right, this video is not great either. Then another week, oh, this video is pretty good. I think it, then if it becomes a thing where, you know, every 2 days you're posting a video that's terrible, then no, your following's not going to grow because you need to learn and grow.
Once you start making videos, though, like you do exactly what Vic just said, and you start watching them for how they're made. So then you're going to start to reach out to somebody like Vic, and you're going to be like, hey, how did you do this? And then you try and don't try and take all of those nuggets and put them into your next video, because it's going to make you hate the editing process.
That's copying just too. Like,
very good point. But I think it's important to just baby steps, like take one new technique and put that into the next video, right? Like, I've lost my train of thought.
No, I know what you're saying, man. I'll get your train of thought back on. There's suddenly you see all these, whether they have a fancy name or whether it's just transitions, and suddenly you're going from that 7 minute video from one angle of staining to the next video. You're expecting to be pumping out, you know,
yeah,
Terminator 2 in 1990 when this thing is unheard of.
Yeah. You don't want to. Yeah, you're going to discourage yourself if you try to go from, yeah, you know, Vic
zero to six,
staining something for 7 minutes from one angle to Nick Key. You're gonna want to quit if you try to do that, because you can't just jump from there to there. There's all those middle steps to get there.
And it's funny too, I saw someone on the other day on Instagram use some fancy term for some part of a video, and I was like, dude, that's interesting, let me Google it. I looked it up, and it's something that I've been doing for ever in my videos. I just didn't even know it had a fancy name. So it was honestly, it was basically when you keep the camera at one angle, but at certain point you cut that, and then you speed up a middle of that clip, then you slow it down again at the end, and it had some fancy term. And I'm just like, dude, I've been doing that forever, and that has a cool name. Shit, I'm an editor, you know. I felt like I was like, yeah, I'm doing this fancy thing, it's got a name. But that just comes with the time. You just slowly start to create your own style. And when you start getting comments on your woodworking page or on your food loving, whatever your page is, when people are like, nice video or cool video versus nice stump, I'm like, damn, I've hit best of both worlds here, right? Because people like the stump, people like the video, and I get super excited about that.
As long as you're proud of it, put it out, and you know, good things can happen. But I do think that there are two things that we're not touching on when it comes to video, and that is music is super, super important.
Super important.
When you're editing, try to edit on those beats. If you're first starting out, it helps. It makes a world of a difference. And there's a free way that you can get music. It's just go onto YouTube, and if you go to audio library, there's a ton of copyright free music on there. So you can take that and then just Google like a convert YouTube to MP3, and then it's free. You just put the link in there and then it'll convert it, and then you can download the song for free. So you can get a bunch, like, doesn't matter what genre or whatever, and there's like millions and millions of songs on there that is totally free that you can grab and then just upload it, save it to your phone, and then you can add it in there.
Ooh, that's juicy. Okay.
That's a good tip, because I know a lot of people that they struggle with that, right? Because either you're trying to use music that you shouldn't be, because obviously it's copyright, right? It's by some major artist and you shouldn't be doing that to begin with. Or you're trying to work with, you know, the few choices that you have, the generic music that shows up in, you know, every other
everyone's video using
that people are using. I mean, I use the same app that Vic does, that Filmmaker Pro.
Yeah.
And that one's actually not bad. They have, I don't know, what would you say is in there? Maybe 70 or 80 different choices. But
they have a couple.
But even after you've made a handful of videos, it starts to get tough.
I'm getting so sick of the music in that app. Yeah. Exactly. So even the little tidbit Mark just said, I'm going to hop on that and go check some music out. Hitting your beats to your videos. That, like Mark said, is I super, you know, I appreciate that. That's huge. That is a little more advanced. I'll be honest, I'm not even too good at that yet. But for someone starting out, just maybe watch your own video back. Sit down and go, okay, this isn't me making this. This is Vic, or this is Mark, or this is Dom's video. Let me watch this. And just think to yourself, like, is this a video where other people are going to be, because it's one thing to get a view count, because a view count on Instagram is 3 seconds. If someone's watched 3 seconds of your video, you get a view count. It's another thing when you check percentage watched insights and people are watching those videos almost till the end. That's a big difference, man. Like, people just getting that view count. Don't get too excited about that. Are people actually really watching your video, or are they just kind of scrolling past and that counting as a view?
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, if you're proud of what you're recording, put it out there. I'm sure it's you know, it'll make you happy. But just, if you're in the world that we're in, if content creation is your passion, if you're looking to grow, that's, I'm assuming that's why you're listening to this podcast. We're trying to help you get from that 7-minute staining video in one angle to perhaps an entire build put into a 1 to 2 minute video that is sick. Like, it's a good video and you want to watch it.
You get a couple followers from it. Yeah.
Dude, my latest IGTV video, I just posted it a couple days ago and I got 400 followers from one video a few days ago. So it's like, just because I'm assuming because I put in a little effort, it took me months, first of all, because of the process of wood. Every time I would film a little bit with this stump, I would take the day's footage and dump it into that video so that I'm not going back, you know, months at one point looking for videos, this and that. So every day I would open up Filmmaker. I'd go, okay, I filmed 7 videos today, dump them in there. I could worry about the editing later, but I need them in there every day. And then recently I just sat down. It took me honestly like a full day to crunch 80 minutes of footage into, I think it came out to be 4 minutes. The video did real good. I'm happy. And I keep feeding myself that whole, you know, this is how to get a good video. And it just helps me with that momentum. But anyways, we're not here to bad.
Like, we could do videos. We could do a whole episode just on creating videos and bouncing different ideas and stuff off of, because right now, obviously we know that video is king, but it's also like the content needs to be engaging. Like Vic said, like, you need, the view count is nothing. It's like, what comes from all that effort? If you're going to put that video out there to get 5,000 views, but then no followers, no website clicks, no shops, no, like, nothing comes from it, then you really need to see if all that work is for something. Like, you need to, and only you can put that value on it, but like, the work or the effort that you're putting forward, like, has to come back at some point, right?
It comes back to what Vic touched on earlier about budgeting. It's not just about money. It's about budgeting your time, right? And that's basically what Mark was just saying, is that you have to budget your time as well and make sure that the amount of time you're putting into something is worth the return that you're getting. I mean, if you're putting a week into creating a 3-minute video and, you know, you better hope that that 3-minute video is paying you back in terms of whatever it is you want, whether it's followers or whether you want to make sales for the product that the video is of.
Yeah.
Because if you're not getting any of that, then you budgeted what's that week's point? Worth of time very poorly, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the last thing that I will say is really important, though, is the caption. I think now the caption needs to be engaging, interesting, funny, or like super kind of unique. The whole like, what is your favorite type of wood filler? That shit needs to die. Like, yesterday, I can't handle it. It drives me crazy, and I will unfollow you if you post those. I hate the call to actions. I shouldn't say I hate the call to actions. If they're done sheepishly like that, I lose a lot of respect. And it just, I'm like, you're not a creator. You're just, you're out here fishing. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like fishing. I'm just saying it makes me not want to engage with your content.
I agree. I hate those. I hate those call to actions that are just, you know, a random question at the end of your caption. Or
I just asked people today what their passion is. Why are
but
you guys?
You did it. No. You did it very strategically, and I respect that. Like when I was reading your caption, I was thinking the same thing that you. You're just like, what the hell? But I was like, no, I really like how you did it. Right, like you incorporated it into your story. It wasn't this huge drawn out thing, and it wasn't like left out. Like you're like, what am I? Am I a woodworker? Am I a content creator? Like what am I? What are
your
passions?
Favorite meal to eat on a Sunday? I should have ended it with something like that.
Oh it just irks me.
So like, check out the stump. What's your favorite car?
Yeah. Like, what? What? Yeah, I know.
Not only am I not commenting, I'm unfollowing you, you know?
Well, that's where I'm at. Like, it just like, I want to look at IG and get inspired. I don't want to get angry when I'm there. That's my happy place. So if you guys are doing that, please stop because I love you all equally.
Why I'm going to do one just for you tomorrow.
Yeah. All call to action. You have to answer 12 questions. But it's just a picture of Mark's face.
Mine is going to be, what's your favorite Mark's daily sign?
Because
I know you
we'll
love
bring that
those.
Up, man. That'll, Mark's going to start stressing out here.
So. He's in a bad mood already.
Yeah. You know what, man? All right. Guys, I'm going to call this here. I'm going to say that I think we're getting delirious. It's getting a little bit late. But before we head off, let's dive into the
mailbag. It's never too late to hit the mailbag. I love me some mailbag. It's almost midnight,
but I'm still doing the
mailbag. You're not going to believe this. My computer screen just cracked.
That's Vanilla Ice with his balls in a vice. Oh my gosh. But I'll be honest, dude, you get better every episode. You must be having, you get vocal lessons or is this
just. I live for this. YouTube, man. YouTube. You can learn anything on YouTube.
Oh, all right. Let me pull out. Hold on. Let me just grab my list here. This week's. I forgot. We can't say the word without him. It comes from @V. Wait a minute. Is that. Dude. That's my wife.
Hilarious.
She literally never listens to this, so it's a funny question. But it says, hey, Vic, when are you going to get that damn wood out of the basement? Oh, well played. Well played,
that's,
Vicky.
You know what? That's a reasonable question.
That's my favorite one. That's my favorite one yet.
Oh, true story. I overloaded the basement with some wood the other day and it's just sitting there. But you know what? Never. I'm never taking it out. It's going to sit there forever. We're like at the hour mark in our episode. She will never, ever hear this, you know, ever.
Best mailbag question.
Like, you guys take over your house as makers or what?
Yeah.
Look at Tom's background in this video. It's all like items. Like it's all stuff for his.
Yeah.
Yeah, my whole basement is basically taken over.
Oh, that's brutal. You should see my slop sink in my laundry room. It is just covered in stain. It is just. Yeah. I'll do a story about it tomorrow. It is so gross. Like I'm gonna have to throw the thing out. It's so brutal.
Now you're gonna have to rebuild your laundry room and everything, all from
I'm saving that for the next pandemic.
Yeah, but. No, anyways, just to wrap it up, that was an actual mailbag question, but the answer is I'm not going to take it out anytime soon. It's just going to sit there. As a maker, you got to get used to it. Sorry to all of our spouses, but we do eventually just take over the whole house, and we do it for the gram, basically.
That's it. Right? For the gram.
What else, boys? Anything else?
No, it's way past my bedtime. Let's just shut this thing down, and I wish you both sweet dreams.
I am starving. I'm going to go smash some food, and that's that. So, ciao.
Play the music.
Oh, yeah, we got
beep,
it.
Beep, 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 beep.
Should we have Vanilla Ice do the outro this week?
I'll look. Oh, do it.
I don't know, that's all I got. That's it.
All right, your mic has COVID. I'm out.
Word to your mother.